إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah. We praise Allah. We ask Allah's forgiveness and we seek Allah's assistance. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention. May Allah grant him peace, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, there is an aspect of our deen that no Muslim can truly be a Muslim unless they believe in it. You cannot be a Muslim unless you believe in it. Yet again, many don't truly believe. You cannot be a Muslim unless you believe. Yet many among the Muslims don't truly believe. And what I mean by that is the belief that is expected to generate compliance and submissiveness. The belief that will produce surrendering and submission. We read about this aspect of our deen in the book of Allah very often. And we read about it in the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet many of us take no heed. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the hellfire. Now you may say, how can someone believe in something, yet that does not generate compliance or submissiveness? There's a contradiction here. If you believe, that means there's nothing that will negate that. I will give you a worldly example. Ask the students. Or maybe you had your own personal experience when you were younger. Tell the students, do you believe that there's a final exam? He say, yes I do. Do you believe that you may either pass or fail? Yes I do. Do you believe that if you fail you'll be wasting your parents' money? Yes I do. Do you believe that you'll be deprived of all the promises that you were given if you fail? Yes I do. And you may mention a number of things and the student will continue to tell you, I believe. I believe. There's a final exam and there's accountability. Yet you look at him and every day of his life he is striving to be among those who will fail. He believes that there's a final exam and that if he fails all these problems will land on him. Yet that understanding does not generate compliance. He will strive in his carelessness to fail, knowing the consequences of that failure. And you get traumatized and shocked. How can someone do this? If he didn't believe that there was an exam, it's half a problem. But he has certainty that when it's all said and done, you will be examined. Either you will pass or you will fail. And the students know. Yet look at them. The way they conduct themselves in school, not all of them, some of them. You will almost think, maybe this guy does not really believe there's an exam. So this particular understanding exists amongst us in our worldly life. And if this is the case with a student in school, then what about the hellfire? Many brothers believe you cannot be a believer unless you believe in the hellfire. But then do we truly believe? Do we truly believe in such a way where we take heed and protect ourselves? This is where the problem arises. Today, Muslims almost don't believe that there's a hellfire. Many of us seem to be leading a life of one who is anxious to enter the hellfire. And not only that, not only he's anxious to enter the hellfire through his actions, but he's also striving to take his wife and his children with him. Many of us live that life today. Muslims all over the world today, if you've seen him, you will think this person is trying everything possible to go to Jahannam. Everything possible. As if he doesn't really believe in it. But we get some other indications from the Quran and the Sunnah. We have been taught otherwise in the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah advised me and you and the believers back then, today and those who will come after. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ All you who believe, protect yourselves and your families from the fire. Its fuel is men and stones, not gasoline and nothing else of that nature, not wood. Men, human beings, will keep the fire moving, will keep the fire burning. Men, it could be me or you, men. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he first proclaimed the da'wah, when he was commanded to inform the people about the da'wah, and he was advising the tribes around him, he said, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, anqidhi nafsaki min al-nar. Oh Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, speaking to his daughter, protect yourself from the fire. Fatima, and what do you know about Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha? She is the daughter of the Messenger of Allah. He's telling her, protect yourself from the fire. What do you know about the fire, my brother in Islam? What do you know about the hellfire? Do you just know the name? There's something called the hellfire. Do you know how you will land there? Do you know what you will be getting in there? Wallah al-Azim, by Allah the Great, if you read the Quranic verses and the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may faint. If you truly believe, you may faint like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz fainted. Radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullah. The affair is serious. Jahannam. Jahannam, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be brought on the Day of Judgment, having 70,000 ropes. And this hadith is a Muslim. 70,000 ropes or bridles, like the one that you use for the horses and the camels. And each rope will have 70,000 angels. Think about this for a moment. 70,000 ropes. And each rope will have 70,000 angels. And brothers in Islam, the angels are unlike me and you. The angels are a strong creation of Allah. But for them to bring the hellfire, that's how many it will take. And the hellfire will be bursting in fury. In fury, trying to get those who disobeyed Allah. It wants to take punishment, revenge for the sake of Allah. The hellfire is so deep that according to the authentic narration of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting with his companions. He was sitting with his companions, and all of a sudden they heard a terrible sound. Some sound that they did not know where it came from. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you know what that sound is?" They said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." He said, "This is a stone that was thrown away from the top of the fire, and it has been going down for 70 years. It just made it to the basement. 70 years. A stone will be falling in Jahannam until it makes it to the basement. 70 years. Think about 70 years. Not an hour, not two. If it was 2 hours, you would say that's a long time. Have you ever seen a plane? Even something that goes to the moon, a spaceship, it will not take 2 hours to land if it was to fall. 70 years. Jahannam, it will be full one day. With Muslims and non-Muslims. Pay attention now. The only religion on earth that keeps it real with you is Islam. No lying, no cheating, no falsifying, and no speaking on behalf of Allah. Yes, you're a believer, but if you play around, you will go to hell. That's how it is. And this is the justice of Allah. So that it is a requirement upon me and you to save ourselves from the hellfire. the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person will be made to be in size where his molar teeth is like the mountain of Uhud. Your tooth will be equal in size to the mountain of Uhud. Then what about your body? The distance between the shoulders will be that of three days of traveling. Punishment of the hellfire. كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. Every time their skins are roasted through from the fire, we will replace them with other skins so they may taste the punishment. Jahannam. And what do you know about Jahannam? What will you be eating in Jahannam? Allah tells us in the Quran, أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ نُزُلًا أَمْ شَجَرَةُ الزَّقُّومِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهَا فِتْنَةً لِلظَّالِمِينَ إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ تَخْرُجُ فِي أَصْلِ الْجَحِيمِ طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينِ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّ لَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لَشَوْبًا مِنْ حَمِيمٍ ثُمَّ إِنَّ مَرْجِعَهُمْ لَإِلَى الْجَحِيمِ. Allah, after mentioning the dwellers of paradise, may Allah make me and you among them, He says, is there a better accommodation, Jannah, or the tree of the Zakkum? Then Allah goes on to define what the tree of the Zakkum is. Allah says, verily we have made it a torment for the wrongdoers. It is a tree which is issuing from the bottom of the hellfire. The emerging fruits of this tree are like the heads of the devils. And then verily the people will be eating from it and they will be filling their bellies with it. Then afterwards they will have a mixture of scalding water. Then verily their return will be to the hellfire. If you eat some food today that doesn't have enough salt, you complain. Say, take this food away from here. This doesn't taste good. Then imagine yourself eating a fruit that looks like the head of the devil. And you will be filling your belly with that. You get thirsty. Don't you get thirsty? إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا بِمَاءٍ وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. Verily we have prepared for the wrongdoers the hellfire whose walls will be surrounding them. And if they ask for relief, then they will be relieved with water like murky oil, scalding their faces. It will burn your face because of the heat of this water that you'll be drinking. What a terrible drink, an evil abode. Allah says in the Quran, the punishment continues. The physical punishment, don't ask about that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the fire of hell is 69 times as severe as the fire of the son of Adam. And have you ever been burnt? I don't think any one of us here has not been burnt at some point in his life. And let's not say you were burnt with some fire. Let's say you were burnt with any electrical appliance. Microwave, toaster, hot pot, anything that you touched. How did it feel? Brother, ask yourself right now. How did it feel? What did you do? What was your reaction? You barely touched something hot. You didn't even put your hand in the fire. So get the most severe fire in the dunya and multiply that by 69, and that's the fire of Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. The punishment will continue unless you save yourself today. And this is the physical punishment. The mental punishment may be even more severe than the physical punishment. And Allah tells us about the people of the fire when they despair. They will say, وَنَادَوْا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. The inhabitants of the hellfire will call upon Malik. Malik is the guardian of the hellfire. They will say, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. Let your Lord put an end to us. We don't want to taste the punishment anymore. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when interpreting this ayah, he said that after 1,000 years, Malik will reply and he will say, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ, verily you will remain. After 1,000 years, he will reply, not to give them good news, to tell them that you will remain. And you know how you feel when you're anticipating an answer? There's the agony of anticipating the answer. and he will make them wait for 1,000 years to tell him that verily you will remain. Why? Verily we have brought you the truth, but most of you used to hate the truth. People don't like the truth. Muslims and non-Muslims alike. You give him something from the Quran and the Sunnah, he doesn't like it, he'll just throw it outside. Say, I'll do whatever my mind tells me to do. And this is a person who hates the truth. And these are among the inhabitants of the hellfire, unless we repent to Allah. Even worse than that. رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنَّا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. The inhabitants of the hellfire will say to Allah, after they have been permitted to Jahannam, they say, our Lord, take us out. Verily, if we will return, meaning to our evil ways, we will be among the wrongdoers. You know what it will be said to them? You know what the most merciful will say to them? The most forgiving will say to them, اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Remain therein, despised, and do not speak to me. Allah Azza wa Jal, who is more merciful to me and you than our parents. When the people violate his limitations, they have forsaken the mercy that Allah has written for the believers. They have compromised it with the dunya. So they should not expect anything in return on the Day of Judgment. اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Remain therein, despised, and do not speak to me. This is from the mental punishment of the hellfire. So brothers in Islam, do you know all these things? Are you aware of all these things? Have you considered the way you are living? Have you considered that you may be among those, me and you? I'm not discouraging myself from any of this. Do we understand that we may be among those? Today you are comfortable wearing your clothing, enjoying yourself. But if you continue to violate the limitations of Allah and to displease Him and to follow your desires, then a day will come where the sitting will not be as comfortable as today. No air condition, no friends, no one to be there for you. We must make a change. It is sad that every week somebody has to come over here and almost beg the Muslims to return to Allah. It is sad that we have to be begged and asked gently and in a forceful way. In every way, people are begging us to repent to Allah. And some of us just don't care. They like to listen to the khutbah. Nice khutbah, akhi. MashaAllah, akhi. Nice delivery, akhi. Akhi, where's the implementation, akhi? Forget about the khatib and the nice khutbah and the good stuff. Where are you from the reminder? We have a misunderstanding of the deen. We think it's about a show. Wallah, I'm putting on a show and you are enjoying it. Like you pay a ticket to go to a play. This is not what it is. If you leave this place with the same way you walked in, I have failed and you have failed. And we're tired of that stuff already. It's not a picnic, it's not a toy, it's not entertainment. This is serious. And the hellfire is around the corner, unless we and you make a change in our lives. And I will tell you in the second part of the khutbah, bi-idhnillah, among the main reasons why one of us may land in the hellfire. May Allah protect me and you from the hellfire. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers in Islam, the reasons why one may enter the hellfire are too many to enumerate. And this requires that me and you do some studying in our life. Refer to the books that have been compiled about the reasons or the things that one may do in his life that will lead him to the hellfire. I cannot bring everything to you here. But what I will do is I will give you two verses from the Quran, which everything that you will read will fall under automatically. Two main reasons. That everything is simply a branch of these two roots. The first verse, Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُمْ فِي النَّارِ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. on the day where their faces will be overturned in the hellfire, they will say, "We wish we had obeyed Allah and had obeyed His Messenger." That is the main reason why one will enter the hellfire. This is the deen of Islam altogether. Obeying Allah and His Messenger versus disobeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You play around with these two and you may go just there. And today, this may be the easiest thing for some of us. Easier than drinking cold water on a hot day. To disobey Allah and His Messenger, piece of cake. Oh, akhi, don't worry about that. I do this so swiftly, so quickly, you will not believe that I'm a believer. You will think I'm a kafir. The way I do it so nicely, so quickly, I'm rushing to disobey. You will not think I'm a Muslim. Maybe I'm a Christian or a Jew. That's how some of us lead our lives. You look at the brother and say, "Ya akhi, I don't understand. I don't understand whether you understand what this deen teaches. Would you throw your son in the hellfire? By Allah, if I was to bring a fire right now, would any one of you dare to put his child in there? No, Allah. But you may let him lead the life of someone who's going straight over there. You will let him live a life of a disobedient, wicked servant whose sunnah is that of the singers and players and artists and not that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let him do whatever he wants to do. He's still young. And when he's a teenager, he's just a teenager. And when he's a grown man, he says he's a grown man. There's nothing I can do about it now. This is from the foolishness of the shaitan. When he's too young, he's too young. Teenager, well, you know, akhi, teenage time is tough. They don't listen. He's old. Wallah, he's too old. He doesn't listen to him anymore. He's his own man. What are you going to teach him when he's an infant? When he doesn't understand? This is foolishness. This is to be done today. You are to protect yourself and your children from the hellfire. If you do not want your son or daughter burning in the hellfire, then protect them. What about the wives? What about these poor women that have men who are more like a woman than the woman? His wife is walking around like she's a fashion show. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are two kinds of the people of the hellfire that I did not see during my time. Among them, nisaun kasiyatun ariyat, women that are dressed but are naked. They are seducing people and being seduced. Women that walk around showing their adornment, and the brother's walking next to his wife as if nothing is going on in this world, knowing that men will be looking at her, knowing that some men may be admiring her, knowing that she wants men to see her, and the man is walking like a tree, does not fear Allah and does not fear for his wife and does not fear for himself, because he will be asked about on the day of judgment, what did you do about this the qawwameen that Allah gave you, being responsible, being in charge. What did you do about it? Did you let your wife and your daughter live the life of foolish people? Or did you protect them from the hellfire? This is my obligation and your obligation. If you don't want them to be punished today, do not let them be punished in the hellfire. And the second ayah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for he who transgresses and he favors the life of this world, then verily the hellfire will be the abode. Two things: transgression, disobedience, violating the limitations, and favoring the life of the dunya. We tell the brother, "Ya akhi, hadith is in Bukhari. Whatever is below your ankles, from your lower garment, is in the hellfire." Brother will turn around and say, "But what are the people going to say about me? Akhi, I work in a business. I work in your business, you know, company. I cannot really walk around with my slacks, you know, above my ankles. People are going to laugh at me. Akhi, I cannot do this. I cannot follow Allah and His Messenger because of people, ya akhi. Ma'lis, yani, give me an excuse. I'm going to give you an excuse. Who am I?" The Prophet ﷺ tells you that you will go to the hellfire, and you tell me your boss and the people you work with, if this is not favored in the dunya over the hereafter, then what is? Then what is, my brothers in Islam? We must have this understanding in our lives. Prioritize Allah and His Messenger, then the rest of the dunya. If they don't like it, there's many walls. They can go beat their heads until they faint. This is none of your business. You follow Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you follow another fiqh position, that's another story. I'm not going to dwell into the differences of opinions. Although the opinion that is correct is that it is forbidden for you to do that. But I'm talking about the brothers who are not doing this because they're following some fiqh position. They're doing this because this is what is suitable for them. And say the same thing about every part of our deen. Every time you present something from the Quran and the Sunnah, he will tell you, but the people around me, but the people back home. Akhi, the people back home don't feel the same way you feel here in the Mamlaka. You see, there's more than one Islam. Islam in India, Islam in Pakistan, Islam in the Mamlaka, Islam in the Philippines. MashaAllah. I was under the impression that we had one Islam, not 50, based on where you come from. This is all from the Jahiliyyah, ignorance. And we must reach a point in our lives where we follow the Quran and the Sunnah wherever they may lead us, brother in Islam. You are getting the reminder today. And there may come a day where you will bite on your hand out of regret for disregarding the reminder. The objective of the khutbah is not socializing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he delivered the khutbah, he will make it short, his eyes will get red, his voice will get loud, and he will become angry. Just the same way I'm behaving. So the brothers will wake up, just in case there are those who are asleep when they come to the khutbah. And not just physically wake up, but spiritually wake up. So when you leave this place, you realize that you are in error. And you say, today I will make this change. Jazakallahu khairan for reminding me of what I have forgotten. Not to tell that it was a nice khutbah, then you continue with your own ways. So I ask you, for the sake of Allah, then to protect yourself from the hellfire, which I've described briefly, and I refer you to the books so you may read more extensively about how severe the punishment is, that you take on the initiative today to repent to Allah, my brother in Islam, from every sin that you know, minor or major. It's the chance today. And if you die in this state, then Allah has showed mercy to you. If you ignore me, if you ignore this reminder from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will have no one to regret, no one to blame on the Day of Judgment but yourself. So the affair is serious. The affair is very serious. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enlighten my understanding and yours of the deen, and to make us among those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah out of love and desire, and to make us among those who favor the Akhirah over the dunya, and to make us among those who implement the deen, not simply memorize it and understand it. Verily Allah is able to do all things, and the last of our supplication is all praises due to Allah, and may Allah protect all of us from the punishment of the hellfire. Aqim as-salah.